Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, listeners, and welcome to our Essen Fresen show for this week. You're with Dolores Fichet of Food by Flavors. I haven't been in the seat for a while, and it's good to be back after a very hectic season of functions and events and non-stop planning. I feel that I need to breathe a bit, and what better way than to share some family favorite recipes with you and talk to stalwarts of the industry in our beautiful South Africa. Even though it's rainy, we still have so much around us to celebrate. So I'm going to launch right into my show by inviting Susan Gregg to have a chat with me. For those who don't know, Susan is of the legendary Beechwood Gardens. Her catering company is The Flavors of Susan Gregg. And long before I was a caterer, I always admired her beautiful style and salads and way of presenting. And I'm sure that definitely did hold a bearing in how I chose to present my own tables and create my own creations. So welcome, Susan, to our show.
Thank you, Dolores. Thank you. Nice to be on.
So I know you've also had a hectic season. I haven't had time to catch up with other industry people, but nice to chat and talk about the season and trends and what's happening out there in the industry. What input can you share with us?
Well, it has been a very, very hectic. I'm lying here in Cape Town in a heap. I've also come to do a function here in Cape Town. And it is go, go, go at this time of the year. And the October, November, obviously wedding season.
For sure.
And which we've done a whole pile of weddings, which has been fantastic. And now we are doing a couple of corporate functions for Christmas, you know, corporate end of the years. And then, please God, we can rest for a bit over the festive holiday.
For sure, for sure. So when you're busy with all your functions, I know, do you see certain trends emerging? Do you see people always hankering after the favorites? I know that so many times I suggest new inventions and new creations when I sit with people, but people sometimes just want the same. They want something with meat and something with chicken and something with lamb and vegetables and salad. And I guess it's, I suppose it's how you do your own twist on that. Or what do you think?
Yeah. Listen, I definitely always write an entire list of dishes that clients can choose from, and they always seem to veer towards the same things, which is a little bit
disconcerting
for us in the kitchen.
Yeah, me too.
But unfortunately, they're the ones that are eating it, and they have to have what they want.
For sure.
But they do tend to choose the same things often, but I just try and put a little spin on things
for sure
that makes them different. But I did a cucumber salad for the first time in ages the other day at a wedding, and my whole staff said to me, "Oh, why are you making a cucumber salad, an Asian cucumber salad?" Well, anyway, it was absolutely very delicious
and demolished, I'm sure.
And demolished, but the thing is that it wouldn't have been chosen if I hadn't just put it on, if you know what I mean.
I also find and also sometimes I know we have to try and get our clients to just be a little bit more daring and adventurous. I did a big function on Sunday night, and yes, there was the Scotch fillet and the flap and the chicken and whatever, but I tried to just inject some newness to my menu, and I did a big ribeye steak pasta, and I did some roast tomatoes, and I threw in some artichokes, and it was delicious with a tomato-based sauce, just something different. And everyone said, "Wow, you've never offered that to us." And I said, "But I've tried, you know, you just so sometimes we do have to throw something in."
Yeah, exactly. And I think people are much more discerning about flavors of food.
For sure.
And with the beautiful restaurants that we have been exposed to in South Africa and traveling overseas, we now know what good food tastes like. So people want delicious food.
Yeah.
So we can't pull the wool over their eyes.
For sure.
As I'm sure you know. You know what I mean?
That's the golden rule, for sure. For sure. I think high quality, beautiful, fresh ingredients. And I always say, even when we do travel, I really think we do have a lot here to be so grateful for. Beautiful fresh produce that we can now get, beautiful tomatoes, different colored cauliflowers. We're getting good at getting more creative with all our seasonal offerings.
And you know, I'm in the Cape at the moment, and because it's such a foodie
place
city, you can't believe what you can get here.
Wow, that's encouraging.
Unbelievable, those beautiful big beef tomatoes that are like the shape of a flower when you cut them.
For sure.
I mean, we haven't got those in Joburg.
I'm sure you also, you've been going to the garden fresh to Yorick, and I know he's really trying hard to give us all amazing produce for our tables.
Yeah.
And so the cucumber salad you were speaking about, do you want to just give us a feel of what you did in that cucumber salad or how you put it together?
Okay, what I did is that I first of all, I smashed my cucumbers. So you get those big English cucumbers and you smash them. Because we don't remove the seeds for this particular salad. And what we do, I chunk it thereafter. So it's quite uneven, irregular pieces. So it's a bit more, it looks better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make an Asian dressing. And Asian dressings always have to be sweet, sour, salty, and hot. So the sweet is your maple. The salty is your soy, the hot's your chili flakes and your garlic and your ginger,
mm-hmm.
and what is the other one?
Sweet sour, salty.
And the hot is the chili.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you season it with the sesame oil, and then you can mix in your sunflower oil or your olive oil, whatever you prefer to use.
Wow.
And lots of coriander and lots of sesame seeds. And it is delicious. And because you've bashed the cucumber, there's lots of little crannies for the sauce to go in, which is divine.
Sounds delicious and sounds like a great accompaniment for summer to any braai or barbecue.
Anything.
For really anything. I know you also just recently did your salad course.
I did a divine salad course. What we did a new thing,
mm-hmm.
which I love. I love lemon in anything. I love lemon cakes. I love lemon biscuits.
I love
lemon.
Mm.
Yeah. And I made a lemon pesto.
Oh, wow.
So what I did is that I peeled the skin off the lemon without the pith, obviously, like with a peeler.
Mm-hmm.
And we put that in the Magimix with the garlic and the olive oil and the nuts and the parmesan. And we made a pesto, a lemon pesto, which we threw over pasta. And I topped it with grilled courgettes. It was so delicious.
Delicious.
I cannot
sounds
tell
delicious.
You.
Sounds
yeah,
I know.
Really,
I've been,
really
I've been
nice.
Doing a lemon pasta, actually, also, and making kind of a creamier lemon sauce and just tossing it and then putting crushed walnuts over the top and with a linguine or the angel hair, and people have loved that also. Yeah. Good. And
tell
us, when you celebrate your Christmas holidays, what do you make for your family?
Well, I normally replicate my Christmas course that I do once a year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it tomorrow in Cape Town, and then I'm doing it in Johannesburg next week. So I've done so many turkeys in my life as a cook.
Yeah.
So this time I didn't know what to do because I've done it with everything imaginable.
Everything possible, yeah.
So what I've done this year, and we did it with a chicken the other day, and it was actually delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I found at Woolies mushroom pesto,
mm-hmm.
and they've got a packet of stuffing and pork sausages, or you could use chicken sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And I mushed that all together, and I put it with hot butter melted,
mm-hmm.
and I pushed that underneath the skin.
Wow, delicious.
To make the breast of the turkey moist.
Yes.
And with obviously extra fresh herbs cut into it. And it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So delicious and moist.
So listeners,
so we're doing that.
You could definitely use chicken for that. We find it so hard to get kosher turkeys, you can hardly get them. So when we do, it's such a bonus, but you can definitely do it with chicken. I often stuff a chicken. And again, listeners, you can always, instead of butter, you can use the plant margarine or an olive oil and create a delicious pesto. So when I make my pesto en masse, I actually do it without the parmesan, and then I add my parmesan when I'm doing a milk function or a milk meal. And I always encourage our listeners to do that too. And then always add your parmesan, of course, if you're doing a milk meal.
Yeah, if you're doing milk, it's fine. And also, you could also, if you're going to do a chicken,
mm-hmm.
you could add schmaltz.
Yes.
As a fat.
Delicious.
Which is very tasty.
Very tasty.
So that's that option. Then I'm doing feta, watermelon, tomato, and anchovy panko crumb salad.
Oh, sounds delicious.
Yeah, sounds divine. And then I'm doing a Caesar salad with also with garlic bread crumbs on top with parmesan. I'm doing a green bean and asparagus salad on a bed of pistachio sauce.
Oh, delicious.
Which is going to be divine. Making the pistachio sauce. I mean, it is quite an expensive salad.
Yes.
But I love
pistachios.
And
now pistachios. And again, it's nice to just inject something like that, for sure.
Yeah.
Delicious.
And what else I'm doing? Oh, yeah, I'm doing these beautiful harissa potatoes where I'm doing roasted potatoes, baby potatoes, smashed. And then I put it on a bed of harissa, which you also get from Woolies.
For sure.
But I think you can buy it anywhere. And
The Pesto Princess, listeners, is the kosher version.
Okay.
But the onion crunch and the chili crunch from Woolworths are great staples also to have.
I love those.
Love those. Yes.
Yeah. So I just mix that with the mayonnaise and I put the potatoes on the mayonnaise base, the harissa mayonnaise, and then I top it with breadcrumbs and with parmesan and parsley.
Two
and garlic.
Delicious.
Delicious. Yeah.
All sounds delicious. Enjoy Cape Town, Susan, and enjoy your Christmas holidays. And looking forward to touching base with you again next year.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
You're back with Dolores. We've just been speaking to Susan Gregg about delicious flavors for summer. And I know she spoke about lemon and pesto and delicious salads. So I'm going to share with you just two quick versions of salads and some pesto. And as I said, I always make my pesto without cheese and keep it in the fridge and always add parmesan or a hard grated cheese when I'm doing a milk meal. So I've been doing a lot of rocket pesto, which is also delicious on meat. So for that, you take 50 to 100 grams of rocket, 30 to 50 grams of walnuts, pine nuts, or almonds, or even you can crush all your nuts together, always easy, a clove of garlic crushed, 3 to 4 heaped tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, a generous squeeze of lemon juice, a pinch of salt and pepper. I then blend that all in the blender. I like it a bit chunkier than smooth, so you can work out your way and what your favorite is. And then I keep it like that for ages in the fridge. It works so well. I add it to a chimichurri for something spicier, where you can add your mint and parsley and a bit of chili flakes and some chopped fresh chili and some extra olive oil for delicious chimichurri over meat or chicken or even fish. I've been using chimichurri with fish over sea bass, which is delicious. And then, as I said, if you want to add cheese, you can add 40 to 50 grams of any hard cheese. Luckily, we've been getting Parmesan kosher in South Africa, in Joburg, readily available. So grated Parmesan cheese always works so beautifully in a pesto. And again, you can use that on so many different things. I'm also going to share with you a quick recipe on some roasted beetroot, which you can make into a salad. So take your raw beetroot, you can cut it into slices, with just some olive oil, sea salt, black pepper, and balsamic vinegar. If you want, you can boil your beetroot first. It just softens it slightly. I often just boil it for about 10 to 15 minutes just to get that hard edge off. And then you can put it on a bed of rocket with some goat's cheese and extra nuts and that delicious pesto on top. There you have a delicious side dish for any main course that you're doing. And I think the ease that people are looking for is just quick and easy recipes for summer and to get through. While we're talking recipes and all these delicious flavors, I'm going to see how we can get through summer a bit healthier, a bit slimmer, a bit sleeker and feeling healthy. And we're going to talk to Elise Jankelowitz. Elise, thank you for joining us. Elise is in her own practice. She's a registered nutritionist and dietitian. Am I getting all the terms right, Elise?
Yes, absolutely, Dee. Thanks for having me.
Good. Thank you for being on our show always and sharing your insights and knowledge with us. So tell us, what have you been seeing? Are people still hankering to be skinny, or is just over skinny a bit healthier? I heard that the other day. Someone, a physician, actually said to me that 3 kilos over your goal weight is actually okay.
Absolutely. I think we've often got a distorted perception of what our goal weight should be. And we are always pushing for the lower part of that body mass index, but it's really okay to carry a little bit more. There's no indication that it's going to be unhealthy for you. And as long as it's a form of eating that you can sustain in the long term, I think that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. And just in your practice, do you see this like frenzy for summer and people going on holiday and everyone trying to get a bit slimmer? Do you see that? Is it a trend that always kind of emerges over this time?
So I think summer does motivate people to get in shape and start looking after themselves. We tend to leave ourselves to let go during the winter months. Mm-hmm. But there's always been that little bit of a frenzy where people are now suddenly, oh my gosh, I've got to fit into summer clothes. I've got to get into a costume. Mm-hmm. So there's always that bit of pressure.
And I know your focus has always just been on health more than how thin you are, really.
100%. And I think that's what's becoming evident. You know, there's so many of these weight loss drugs around.
So much.
And injections. So much. And at the end of the day, you know, the key is it bringing out better health? In some cases, it actually isn't. So we've got to be aware and we've got to be careful of that the ultimate goal isn't just being skinny. It really is about, you know, having good quality health and avoiding disease later on in life.
So when you sit with, I mean, someone comes to see you and you planning their eating regime or whatever, how do you start? I mean, do you look at people's lifestyles? Do you look at each individual personally and individually and create like an eating program that'll work for them?
100%. So otherwise you can go into ChatGPT and try and create your own version of what you think is right, but it's too generalized.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take a person's lifestyle into account, the foods they like, the foods they don't like, and work together with them to create something that they will sustain. So my job is to make a meal plan for a person where they're getting results, they're happy to do it, and they can continue to do it for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. One thing I do see at some of my functions, I've been doing a lot of corporate breakfasts and brunches, and there are so many people who just don't eat in the morning. And so much food actually gets wasted at an early corporate breakfast because people actually just literally do not eat. What's your take on that? What's your feeling on that?
I still do believe that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and it does kind of stimulate the metabolism. You know, those patients that come in who never get hungry, they don't have a metabolic rate that's well functioning. So when somebody eats early, they often comment, oh, I get hungry the whole day. And that's a very positive thing because it means your body's now starting to burn the calories that you've given it. These ideas of this intermittent fasting where we only eat much later in the day, really what it's doing is it's shutting down our window period in terms of eating. So we hope to see that a person's calories are less, but it doesn't always work out that way because then they often land up binging in the late afternoon or after dinner or have horrible cravings because they haven't balanced their glucose and sugar levels well in the day.
Wow, I've never thought of it that way. That is so interesting. Wow. And tell me, Elise, people going on holiday, how do you encourage like health? You know, we're in a different place sometimes and we're going to restaurants, and how do you kind of balance that with being on holiday and keeping healthy? Or what foods would you opt for? What foods would you encourage people to look for at a breakfast or at a buffet? Or how do you go about that?
So the important thing is to still carry through that 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time you're being mindful. What does that mean? You're drinking enough water every day. You're filling up your plate with more vegetables and salads than other types of foods. And then it gives you that 20% ability to be a little bit, you know, kind of go beyond that. Have a little bit of dessert. Have a bit of something delicious at the buffet at breakfast. But if you kind of let it all go, it's going to be a disaster. So you still need to manage around 80% of your eating plan, do a little bit more exercise, be mindful of eating slowly, chew your food well, dish up, be mindful of what you're putting onto your plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that often does help. If you plan on having ice creams on the beach, say, okay, within a week I'm going to do 5 ice creams, but
yes,
three of them are going to be sorbets or ice lollies.
For sure.
So there's always a better option without feeling deprived.
For sure. Good hints, good tips. Always a pleasure to have you on my show. Thank you for joining me, and we will chat soon.
Oh, thanks, Dee. Take care.
Have a
beautiful day.
You too. That was Elise Jankelowitz, a registered dietitian in Johannesburg, always with her wisdom and very sane and calm approach to food and how to feel good about yourself.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking food and summer and eating and staying healthy but enjoying ourselves because life is just too short not to. I know when we walk into the stores now, we see so many Christmas cakes and Christmas pies and panettone, and I know it's not always part of our world. We give them as gifts often, but there is actually nothing more delicious than a moist, delicious fruit cake. So I'm going to share with you a quick and easy recipe to make a fruit cake at home to celebrate the season of giving and hospitality and generosity. So here we go. For your ingredients, 3 eggs, 1 cup of brown sugar, 1 cup of oil, 1/2 cup of honey, 1 cup of flour. I use the cake flour. And then you can create your own mix of spices. So the rule is 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, but I like to put cinnamon and cloves and nutmeg and ginger and all those delicious aromatic spices. 1 tablespoon of yeast and 2 cups of mixed fruit and nuts. And what I have been doing is not only using the traditional apples and pears fruit for the fruit cake and raisins. I've been taking some pineapple and banana and mango and peaches and chopping it all together with a real nut mix of walnuts and Brazil nuts and cashew nuts and macadamia nuts, whatever I've been finding in our pantry, and create 2 cups of that. So the prep of that is you beat your eggs with sugar and oil. Slowly add your honey, your flour, your mixed spices, and your yeast, just like that. You don't have to do anything else to the yeast. Then mix in and fold in your fruit and nuts. I like to line my baking dish with a piece of baking paper. As I always say, I always use baking paper for almost everything that I do. So take your 2 loaf tins, and you can spread it thin if you want, or you can create 1 bigger cake. I like to do 2 and then make some kind of jammy mixture for the center. So mix your fruits with your dry goods and your wet, and bake for 45 minutes. Leave it to cool slightly, and then turn it over and just gently out. And this fruit cake, it just represents the season somehow we're celebrating. Nice to celebrate with the diversity of all our cultures in South Africa, and nice to have a fruit cake now and again. Nothing better than a cup of tea and a fruit cake spread with delicious butter. So while we're talking fruit, let's go closer to home, and I'm going to share with you my comfort recipe for shakshuka. I've been so busy and working so many crazy hours, and I think eggs are just such a beautiful staple to have, and to create a twist on eggs is always just encouraging and comforting and warm to have with a piece of toast, a piece of malawach, a delicious piece of crusty ciabatta or sourdough. So for your shakshuka, which is easy to make on a Sunday morning, and again, I love the sauce so much, and I actually keep it in the fridge. It's so delicious, even over chicken, as crazy as it sounds, or fish. The other day we took hake portions on a piece of baking paper, a little bit of fish spice, and grilled it for about 5 to 10 minutes in the oven just to get the rawness off, took it out the oven, and then threw the shakshuka sauce over the hake, served it with baby potatoes, baked it for another 30 minutes until the hake was fully cooked through. People went wild for it. A handful of rocket or basil or Italian parsley or anything on the side, some cut lemon and some tartar sauce, and there you go. So let me quickly share with you my shakshuka recipe. For this, I do use olive oil. In the cake before, you can use just sunflower oil or canola oil. I know there's so many stories about oil, but we're talking cooking and enjoying and indulging, so let's not always worry about what we read. So for this, 1/4 to 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 1 generous teaspoon of salt, 1 heaped teaspoon of paprika. I like the smoky paprika, always delicious. 1/2 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 teaspoon of caraway seeds. Then take 3 Roma tomatoes cut into slices, 1 green pepper sliced, you can use red or yellow too if you wish, 3 garlic cloves crushed, 4 heaped tablespoons of tomato paste, 1 teaspoon of brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of sweet chili sauce. You can add chili flakes if you want it a bit hotter, or a dash of harissa. I also, as I mentioned before, have been using the onion crunch and the chili crunch from Woolworths. It's just such a delicious staple to have in your cupboard. To that, add 3/4 cup of water, and at the end, we'll talk about the eggs. 2 tablespoons of chopped coriander and 1/4 teaspoon of Maldon salt. So to do this, it sounds so complicated, but it's really not. In your frying pan, your skillet pan on a medium heat, you're going to pour your olive oil. You're going to add your salt and paprika and all your spices. Then add your caraway seeds and cumin. Mix it all up to open all the flavors. Take your tomatoes and arrange them in layers. Add your peppers, add your garlic, and don't mix too much. Just let it all simmer very gently, very slowly in your skillet for about 2 minutes. This beautiful aroma will start just infusing the air. To this, add your tomato paste, your sugar, your sweet chili sauce. Mix it all together. And as I said, you can flavor it to your own taste and create your own flavor by adding some chili flakes, some harissa if you want it a bit spicier. Then pour in your water, giving it a good stir, and let it settle and cook for another 5 minutes. Then just before you're going to serve, crack your eggs right over the sauce. Let them just simmer to slightly done, or however you prefer your eggs. Top with chopped coriander and your flaky Maldon salt. And for this, I do insist that you use Maldon salt and not table salt. Cover with a lid and cook for another 10 minutes or until the eggs are done just the way you like them. That is so delicious, so comforting. I love eggs any day, any time, breakfast, morning, night, supper, tea, anything, always delicious. So enjoy that.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking food and flavors and summer and staying healthy and enjoying our delicious fare that we have in South Africa over the season. And while we're talking about that, we're always also thinking about our homes and our spaces and how to create beauty around us and how do we enter 2026 with maybe a different take on something, a new throw, a new color, a new invention, a new something, just to give us a boost of energy and some excitement for the new year. And to get some inspiration, I'm going to turn to Tessa Stonefield, who's an interior designer in Johannesburg, creating beautiful homes and calm, serene spaces. So let's talk to her about colors and trends for 2026 and what she sees in the industry. Welcome to the show, Tessa.
Hi, Dolores. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. How's your year been?
Yes, it's been good. Busy, thank goodness.
And what have you seen emerging as trends? What are people going for? Do you see specific things? Do you see things in the industry? Is it different in South Africa to international tastes? Give us your take on that.
South Africa is definitely aligned with the rest of the world. 2025 had a lot of natural and neutral tones. It was the introduction of it. It started in the beginning of 2025 and it will explode in 2026. It's moving away from the modern minimalistic pared-down look and it's focusing a lot on quiet luxury.
Oh, that's a nice way of looking at it. So when you say quiet luxury, give us a sense of what you're seeing. Like just say you're going into a space. What do you look for first?
Well, it's becoming quite personalized. Homes are moving away from that one-size-fits-all room. Mm-hmm. And even though 2025 focused on safe neutrals, it's progressing into warmer colors as well as some brights. A lot of print mixing, layering, wall coverings, quite an eclectic look coming across. Mm-hmm. And even more, you know, antique or heritage style pieces are coming into play again. Almost what defined the early 2000s is now making a full circle and repeating itself.
That's so interesting. And tell me, because I always think, sometimes I go into houses and I always think they're so beautiful, but so you want a feeling of someone's home and signature. And sometimes I go into homes, there's never a photograph of anything showing who they are or what they're about. So when you say that people are going for a personal kind of feel and more individual, it makes me happy because sometimes I think you can have a beautiful room and if there's no sense of who's actually living there, then what's really the point? You know, you have to have a home that is an expression of who you are.
Well, that's exactly where it's going in 2026. It's that unique expression of individuals' taste and it's, you know, moving away from that generic trendy template.
Mm-hmm. I saw the color. I think the color was mocha, coffee mocha or something like that. They said the color, the paint color for 2026. coffee mousse or something like that.
So that maca mousse is actually 2025.
Oh, okay.
And they should be announcing the color for 2026 on Thursday.
Okay.
And they predict that it will still be in those warm neutrals, but mm-hmm. it's leaning more towards green. It hasn't been decided. It's quite a big announcement when Pantone announced the colors.
Oh, it's a Pantone
specialist,
thing.
Your designers and everyone bases it around that. But they say it may be olive green, a deep muted green, warm earthy greens, but that's actually becoming one of those warmer
hues. Yes, love that. I love that. And also, I know from my perspective, it's not that I do interiors, but we do create functions, and you want to be in line with what's happening in the world. So I love seeing what interior designers are doing, because that then plays it out to a table or to an event or to a feel. And it's so interesting how people approach an event sometimes, like a theme or this or that. But I think when you go with colors and feel, it's just always warmer and more embracing, you know?
Absolutely. And that is where it's going in 2026, to that whole warm, you know, it was in 2025, but it really is coming a bigger and bolder in 2026. And also some bright colors are coming in, and the blues are coming back into play.
Wow.
With quite deep blues.
Mm-hmm.
The blues are coming back. And then also still your chocolatey brown that's making a comeback. It's all coming back from the early 2000s. Your mossy greens, even your like rust and deep aubergine. I know you like the correlation to the food, but it really is like that. The blues are the moody blues, and even some light icy blues are coming back.
So what would your approach be to someone who maybe doesn't have a whole budget to redo a room? What can you inject to create a sense of newness, or something that's just, where would you start to refresh a room if you're not on a huge budget, but you just want a sense of newness? What do you suggest to people?
I would introduce, print mixing is a very big thing at the moment. It's come back, as well as your, your wallpaper, wall coverings, texture. You can introduce like a grass cloth or linen style wallpaper to add layering and texture, and even to reupholster sofas, occasional chairs. The look is now very much printed, so you can do those in prints, and then you still have prints on top of it in different fabrics that work together and tell the same story as scatters and accessories. And that just, you know, even just to recover something can refresh a room, adding wallpaper, wall covering, accessorize. And it's going back to that and bright and bold.
Yeah.
Mixed with the neutrals, but the deep neutrals.
And
almost neutrals with soul, you know, those warmer creams, beiges, soft browns.
So, and when you're starting off with the house and people are looking even just say to buy crockery and cutlery and some tablecloths, do you go for the neutrals and then inject some color in other objets or pieces, or what's your base recommendation?
You know, it depends on their personality, and as it's going in 2026, where it is very personalized. If somebody's very bold and loves a lot of color, then we can introduce a lot of color. If they're more conservative, then we use our neutrals as the base, and then we add some color accented in certain areas where you can change and replace and redo over time. So you don't have to live with such big items
for
such
sure.
bright colors.
That's a great way of looking at it. And your personal, what's your personal taste? What colors do you love, Tessa?
I love a classic contemporary look, which is very much come back in. So you have your modern pieces mixed with your one or two antiques and your heritage items. And, you know, I feel like there was the last few years, people have been dumping all the antiques. And I think in 2026, those that have none left are going to regret not having those one or two pieces to add that warmth and add that, you know, element. Because I always find that true design is more eclectic, and it's the way you work everything together. You've got your contemporary pieces with your classic pieces and your different varying elements and layers and textures that bring it all together to tell
the
story about you.
For sure, for sure. And there's nothing better than walking into a home or space that does tell a story.
Absolutely.
Tessa Stonefield, thank you so much for being on our show and for sharing your amazing insights, and good luck for the 2026 season.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We are wrapping up our hour talking about delicious summer flavors, staying healthy, focusing on generosity and hospitality. I'm going to share with you one last quick salad, which I just think is so delicious for summer and an easy accompaniment to any main dish. It's a lettuce salad with grapes, walnuts. Grapes are definitely making a big feature for next year. Roast grapes, grapes in salad, grapes with food. So here we go. Take two baby cos hearts of lettuce, one large Granny Smith apple, which you have peeled and thinly sliced. I always slice my apples first and soak them in a bit of lemon juice while I'm doing other things. A handful of halved seedless grapes, and we have such delicious grapes on offer around us. A handful of chopped walnuts. As you can see, I'm on a walnut binge because all my recipes have featured walnuts today. A third of a cup of egg mayo. I love the French mayo or the extra creamy mayo from Woolworths when I'm creating something at home. The juice and zest of a small lemon. A teaspoon of olive oil, some mold and salt, and some cracked pepper, which are my pantry staples always, and some Italian parsley and basil to garnish. To make up your salad, simply break up your lettuce, rinse with water or however you rinse, arrange in a large bowl, fan your apple slices between the layers of the cos lettuce, and I find that that definitely helps because then you get your crunch between the lettuce and not only at the base of the salad. Sprinkle with your grapes and walnuts over the top. To make your dressing, quickly whisk together your mayo, your lemon juice, your zest, your olive oil, your salt and pepper in a cup or in a glass bowl. Drizzle over your salad. Finish with your parsley and basil. And there you have a delicious summer salad to go with fish, with chicken, with veg, with anything you wish. I hope you've enjoyed this hour with me. We've been talking summer and flavors, and just remember the focus is really always about connection over a table, about sharing with people we love, having the people around us, having a chat over a kitchen table is possibly my best thing in the whole world. So while you're all on your breaks, have a beautiful summer, cook with generosity, and enjoy.